Good morning, everyone. It's a tremendous blessing to be with you this morning and amongst you people. There's only a few people that me and my wife and our family really know. It's Aiden and his family. Alan, we know somewhat. He has been to Manitoba preaching for us. So God bless you for the support, for the courage that you had, to time you spend to come and invest in our lives. It's not been an easy road, but God is faithful. So I think with the things that we heard this morning, I think already we are fed. I think I could go home and be satisfied and allow that to minister to me in my heart. So maybe some of you don't know our family. There's many of you haven't seen before. I guess there's new faces here. But I've been born in Mexico. My wife is born in Belize. My parents moved to Belize from Mexico in 1976. I was 6 years old, or close to seven. So we lived in Belize for 4 years. And there was a church split, and the half of the group moved to Paraguay. And so that's where I grew up for 14 years. And my wife's family moved there in 87. And so that's where we got married. We got to know each other. And through the time of seeking, through the years, we heard messages of hell, heaven, and I definitely wanted to go to heaven. And at my younger age, I often cry out to God, not knowing what I was actually asking or seeking, but I just didn't want to go to hell. And through the years, I've been hearing some of the Word of God, but we never heard the gospel message of salvation, of the new birth. We were always told you cannot know that you're saved. It's a very similar culture, the old colony, than the Amish is, the Hutterite people. The message is kind of conveyed the same. But there's the culture is somewhat different, an upbringing and so on, but God is good to how He brings different people together and serve the same God, fills them with the same Spirit, and joins them together with a bond of love and care for each other that cannot be broken easy. If you know God is good. And so during those years, I just been interesting how I was seeking, and I wanted to go to heaven so bad. And I, at the age of 18, I wanted to get baptized because my friends got baptized, and so I just didn't know what it meant to be born again, but we had a catechismus, whatever, we had to memorize some 50 verses or something, and we answered them in the church in front. We had a stand, and that was our confession of faith, kind of, and it was very good scripture. But after we got married, I went into deep depression, and that's where I started really seeking spiritual help. And so I went to a doctor, was a Christian, was the first man who showed me love, who showed me the way to Christ somehow, and I couldn't grasp this thing. I told my wife, I said, have you found someone? But it was a very liberal church. The women just, they didn't have head coverings. And I just thought, you know, all that we had up till now didn't bring us to God. Doesn't matter, let's go and join these people. But my wife said, no. I thank God that He protected us from going a way that was of the world. And so through those years, I guess it was about a year, we moved to Canada. And a year and a half after we were married, I got born again. So God is good. And I've been seeking. Also, God delivered me from the occultic things, practice, water witching and different things. And God has brought tremendous healing in my Christian life, my life and my heart, and through the years. So just a short testimony. I'd like to read one Bible verse to you. If you are here this morning and are seeking, I'm not sure if there's anyone seeking this morning. for a change of heart or a answer from God, how to come to God. But there's one Bible verse in Hebrews chapter 11 that has blessed me very many times. Where is that here? Verse 6. This is what I can testify today when I think about those that are seeking. It says here in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And brothers and sisters, God is a rewarder. He will not leave you stuck somewhere in an unconverted life. If you seek after Him, He will somehow send someone to show you the way. God is very good. He has those very precious moments that He sends people. And I remember, there was an older man in my life. He came and shared the gospel with me. He tried, and it just ran off from me as water from a duck. And it just didn't sink into my heart. I had knowledge of Scripture, but it did not register what it meant to be changed and to be transformed by the Spirit of God into the image of Christ, from darkness to light. And I just didn't understand. But when God enlightened my eyes and He opened that, it's just like a light bulb came on. It seemed like even nature became more precious to me. Everything felt precious and beautiful. God is a good God. So He loves us. So I have some thoughts this morning that I would like to share with you from Scripture. And I trust that somehow it can also be a blessing to you. Let's just rise to our feet and pray before we begin. Our Father in heaven, we confess this morning that we are needy, that You would come and fill our vessels, that we would overflow. From ourselves we have nothing. We cannot say that we have anything that we have not received. Everything that You have given us is a gift from You. Father, we do thank You this morning for the precious gift of salvation, for life, for the bloodshed of Jesus Christ on the cross, that we can find forgiveness of sin through that. And Father, we most of all so thank You for the Holy Spirit that works in the age of the church, God, and leads us into all truth. Father, may we be willing to be led, that we are not digging our heels and be stubborn when the truth is presented. Father, help us to be as obedient children, applying the truth to our own lives and become doers of the Word and not just hearers only. Father, we pray as the Word goes forth again this morning, as it already has, I pray, Father, it would take root in our lives, it would not come back void, that You would work in our hearts, that we will be more fruit-bearing branches in the vine of Jesus Christ. Father, we do ask that You may bless this time here together. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to share some thoughts from Hebrews chapter 1 this morning. I do have a burden, and I've seen many, many things in my life. I have been very much on the verge of deception by other people, and I would just like to encourage you with that this morning. And Hebrews 1, for the sake of time, I would like to just read the first three verses. I shared some of these thoughts in the home congregation, and so I thought maybe I should just share some of the thoughts with you. May God have its way. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world, by who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus Christ, He appeared before God for you and me. He did come down to deal with the sin question, but He had to go and appear before God. You read it in Hebrews 9 or 9 somewhere. But He will come again for all those that look for His appearing. Do you look for His appearing this morning? Are you afraid and hope He's not coming? I trust this morning that God would somehow grant us grace. I would like to especially focus on Jesus Christ, who has spoken to us in these last days. And past times He has spoken to the prophets in many ways and so on. But before I do that, I would like to share a little bit of some of my... there's a few thoughts that I have about... think about in my seeking years. The first 5 years in my Christian life, we lived in Manitoba. We did not have an interpretation, or somebody didn't translate the English language to me and my wife. We did not understand. We were not fed very properly spiritually, so that we were seeking different churches that actually spoke the High German language, which we understood. And through that seeking, I thank God today He spared me from false teaching, because there were people out there that really told us, if you do not have the if you cannot speak in tongues, you do not have the Holy Ghost. He might be around you, but not in you. And I was so desperate. I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit and things like that. And, sometimes I heard there was a man in our community. There are so many spirits out there, brothers. Let's be very careful what spirit is leading us and what spirit is actually driving us. If we are led by the Spirit of God, we are His children, and we do not want to be led in any false spirit which has false doctrine. Because Jesus Christ, when He came, He said, that says here in Hebrews, that in these last time God has spoken through His Son. And His Son did not speak anything of Himself, did He? He said, what I speak I have heard of my Father. When the Holy Ghost came, what did He do? Jesus said, I would send Him. In John 16, you can read that for yourself. Verse 13, He says, when the Comforter will come, He will speak of, not of Himself. And so we heard people sometimes say, the Holy Ghost told me this, and the Spirit told me this, and the Spirit said this. If that does not line up with the word that Jesus spoke, be careful what Spirit speaks to you. And so this morning, I want to just be about a caution here and a warning that we are not misled by all these things, the winds of false doctrine that blow across our lands today. It's very discouraging sometimes to see how many people swallow that. And so may God protect us from that and give us much grace that we would be a Bereans, a people that study the Word of God, and as God reveals Himself through His Word, through the Holy Spirit, says the Holy Spirit will come and remind you of what I have said. So if God does that, then let's be very careful how we take the Word of God, that we would not become of those that twist the Scripture and lead people astray. There was a man in our community, I wanted to say before, he divorced his wife, and somebody approached him and asked him, why are you doing this? It's contrary to Scripture. He says, the Spirit told me that I should divorce my wife. Brothers, people can use Scripture to support their sin, their carnality, their ungodliness. That is wrong. May God help us that we would live a life that is holy. So, I would like to share two more scriptures with you to lay a little bit of a foundation of this passage here in Hebrews chapter 1 that God has spoken in these last times to us. And turn to Luke chapter 20. There's a very, very precious passage that I have often been wondering in my younger years what Jesus meant with all these things, but here he tells something in a parable, and relates very much to Hebrews chapter 1 from 9 to 18. Then began he to speak. This is in Luke 20 verse 9. We'll start reading there to 18. Then began he to speak to the people this parable, a certain man planted a vineyard and let it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. And at a season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent other servants, and they beat him also and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will receive him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours.' So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to another." And when they heard it, they said, "God forbid." And he beheld them and said, "What is it then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon the stone shall be broken, and of whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Very powerful scripture. You see, God spoke in many ways. Jesus said he sent servants, he sent prophets, and God spoke in diverse, many different ways to the prophets in the Old Testament to get the message across, to bring out a people that would live holy, that would live godly, that would live a life of surrender to Him, and a life that would be changed and fruitful. But as you know, that the Israelites, they just strayed, and they went away, and they were rebellious, and God brought them back again and again. But when Jesus came on the scene, what did they do to Him? They killed Him too. But that became our salvation. His blood was shed for us. But in these last days, God has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I trust this morning that as we have it's a very beautiful book. When you read through that, sometimes it says that we will now serve Him in a new and a living way. Christ has come to give His life for us and is a living sacrifice. There's another scripture that I would like you to turn to. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's turn to that one. As we look at Hebrews 1, that seems like Paul is, or whoever wrote that book or epistle, he tries to put parallel Jesus Christ with the prophets and the Old Testament and tries to show them very clearly who Jesus Christ is and how what he did. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read some 6 to 17. This is a very amazing Bible, a passage here. Let's start reading verse 6. "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, and the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the administration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the administration of condemnation be glorious, much more doth the administration of righteousness exceed in glory. Praise God. For even that which was made glorious hath no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day they remaineth the same veil untaken away, and the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is still upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with an open face, beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of Christ, by the Spirit of the Lord. One of the things I'd like to share with you here is that when we think about the administration, how Moses' face shone so much that the Israelites were scared. You know, I would just sometimes just imagine what would happen if one of you brethren had such an encounter with God and your face would shine. What would your audience say? Will they run out to that door as fast as they could and ask you to cover yourself? God, and we think about Jesus Christ, He came to show us the Father. You know, Philip said, you know, show us the Father, it will suffice us. And Jesus said, as long as I've been with you, Philip, I mean, you have seen the Father, and it was not this light that shone like Moses' face did, but there is a light. Jesus said He was the light that came into the world and to expose sin and darkness. But one of the things that I see in that glorious administration of condemnation, that did never quicken someone's inward life. It showed the people what sin was and was a schoolmaster to teach them that what was wrong and right, but it did not change them. And it seems like there was something there that when Jesus Christ came on the scene, He came as a Spirit, in the Spirit of God, and that Spirit that Christ has sent is a quickening Spirit. When we, you know, I just so remember when I was dead in trespasses and sin, when I received Jesus Christ as Lord, my life, there was a quickening happening in me that I could not explain. It's something that was life in me. There was a joy. There was a peace that came upon me. Not like in Hebrews 10, you read in their sacrifices of what they did in the Old Testament, there was a remembrance of sin every year. I do not need to go back and remember my sin and past sins with guilt and discouragement. God has washed them away in Jesus, in the blood of Christ. And we can experience forgiveness and a joy that presses on in a new and a living way. And I just want to encourage you this morning that we have a more glorious ministry now in Jesus Christ's administration than that which was of death and condemnation. And so God is very good. God has been leading us into a life that is glorious and it pleases Him. So I'd like to go back to Hebrews. I would like to read some scripture here this morning, some verses going through Hebrews, and I would like to show you something. You probably know these verses, but Hebrews, it shows us how much better Jesus Christ is than Moses, Aaron, and the angels and all these things. And we have some of those things, and I would just like to read some of these things here to you. And after I have been reading this, we'll take some time and go through some of the verses and read those individual verses. The key word here is better. And so it shows us that Jesus Christ, that He has come, He has fulfilled, and He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He also wants to be Lord of our lives. So here is a comparison that this book of Hebrews does. The Lord Jesus Christ is better than the angels, better than Moses, and better than Joshua, and better than Aaron. And then we have the next one here as in three categories. The next part is that we have a better covenant through Him, based on better promises, opening up a better sanctuary, sealed by a better sacrifice. And then we have the last one here, is faith is fixed on a better substance in heaven, and look for a better country and a better resurrection and the inheritance of better things. What a description of Hebrews, what it talks about, how much better Jesus Christ is than what we have now. When you look at Luke 20, he tells them very clearly that he sent many people to share God's heart with them and the message, and they killed him. And at the end he said, I'll send my son, and I hope they will reverence him. And they didn't. But bless God, there was many people that did open their hearts. He was found of people that were not seeking after him. It's amazing how it actually happened. Those that were so close to the kingdom, they actually did not enter in. And those that were further away, we could say the publicans and tax collectors and harlots and all those people, they actually enter in before the others would do sometime. And so we have a very beautiful description of some of those things about Jesus Christ. And then we have in Corinthians also that how much more glorious is the administration of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Brothers, we have something very precious. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, how shall we escape if we neglect the greatest salvation? Those that did not escape punishment by that which was spoken by angels, I think it says, maybe I should read it here, which probably just gives us a clear Hebrews 2. It says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which is at first spoken, began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. And we see what God did there. And he confirmed that through the apostles with a lot of miracles and these things that Jesus Christ was a true Messiah. He was the Messiah that came and wanted to deliver people from their bondage and slavery of sin that we were in. I think they had a wrong picture at one point. I guess the Jewish people thought he would come and deliver them from the Romans. Was a very earthly mindset. And so here we have Christ who is so much better. So I like to, the word better is about 13 times in the book of Hebrews. Let's read some of those verses here. Hebrews 1 verse 4. If you want to write them down for yourself, you can look them up. But Hebrews 1 verse 4, it says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. 6 verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation though we thus speak. This is speaking to people here, the word better. Then we have 7:7. And without all contradiction, the last is better than the last is blessed of the better. So it speaks about the covenant, the new covenant that we enter in with Jesus Christ. Then the first one also had glory too. But this last one is better than the first one. 19 and 22 in the same chapter. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. Praise the Lord. Verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. So as I said in the beginning, that this shows us that Jesus Christ, I think it was written to people that actually doubted and wanted to draw back. And I think in Hebrews we also read this verse that God has no pleasure in them that draw back to something different. And back to the law, so to say. 8 verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry by whom, how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. So we have the word better twice in this verse. 9 verse 23. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue for reason of death. I maybe have a wrong. Yeah, I'm actually on the wrong. 9:23. I'm just on the wrong chapter here. Sorry. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But it was therefore necessary that the patterns of these in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. And we have 10:34. For ye had compassed. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoils of your good, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Jesus said, put up treasures in heaven where the thieves will not steal, moth will not, rust will not rust things away. He wants our hearts drawn away from this earth to himself. So we have a better substance. These people that follow Jesus Christ, they took joyfully the spoils of their goods and they could have. I remember years ago there was a family in Paraguay that they were Christians, and there was three drunk men that came with guns, and they were very, very harsh, and they wanted to take their money and steal. And then the father stepped between him and the children and said to these men, not everyone is afraid to die. And that shocked them very hard. And so, and then they approached his son, and his son said, you can gladly have my motorcycle. And it just was somehow, it just so shocked them, it seemed like then they didn't want it. It just seemed like God puts us to a test sometimes, but how much are these earthly things value to us? And so we have this better thing here in Hebrews in 11:16. But now these desire a better country, that is, and heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. What a promise. God is not ashamed to call those that he has sanctified. I mean, it says in Hebrews 2 or 3 that he's not even ashamed to call us brethren. It is not amazing how God actually wants fellowship with his people. What a blessing. Verse 35 here in Hebrews 11. Women received the dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Why? That they may obtain a better resurrection. There will be a resurrection, the just and the unjust. So which resurrection do we want to be part of? We would like to be in the resurrection of the just. And if we want to be part of that, we have to apply our hearts today and surrender to God. There's no other way. Verse 40. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And I think about the Old Testament saints. They were not made perfect without Jesus Christ. Because God had prepared a better plan of salvation. They looked forward to Christ by faith. And God saved them. And we also look to Jesus Christ. Everything pointed to this Savior that would come and has come and is actually coming again. We are waiting for that. And so God will, the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, He will all make them perfect in Christ and one. What a joy. There will be a blood-bought saints in heaven all through the blood of Christ. Chapter 12, 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. What a blessing. The blood of Christ. And let's look at some other scripture here in Hebrews. Now we'll look at the word once. It's four times in Hebrews. And so Jesus did not have to sacrifice himself over and die many deaths. He died once. Let's look at some of those verses. Hebrews 7, 20, 27. Who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, which sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people. For this he did once, when he offered himself for us once. So what a perfect sacrifice! I think it says in the old says in some place somewhere that God, he did not want sacrifice a body he had prepared, and that was Jesus Christ. He was a perfect body, sinless, because someone like a human being who had sinned had to pay for the penalty of sin. And Christ was the one who could do that. 9 verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained an eternal redemption for us. And all of these things, God has spoken, and He gave many things to Moses, how they should sacrifice and apply the blood and so on, and the Old Testament, how God spoke to the people. But in these last days, God speaks to us through these verses, through this word, and shows us what a firm foundation we have, what a solid rock we have. It is once, and it's enduring, it will never fail. He's a king in heaven. He has a kingdom here on earth, and he is still Lord of all. And so this morning, we want to trust him. And chapter 9, 26, there's another one. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, at the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. What a blessing. That God put away sin. We do not need to go around with a guilty conscience, remembering our sins over and over. And I just believe that 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, it says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive. And so often I remember in times past when I struggled with my depression and doubts and fears, and I wonder, has God truly forgiven? You know, if there were just a voice from heaven speak and say, David, God has forgiven you, and I would believe, but God has spoken in His Son to me already, and He has forgiven. And if we are willing to repent and confess, God is willing to wash us, to cleanse us, and call us brethren, and not be ashamed of that either. Well, what a joy. Verse 28 here in Hebrews 9. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We are a blessed people that have the blood of Christ cleansed and taken care of sin question in our life. We do not need to fear his second coming. Now we have some more verses. Here's a sobering thought and of admonition for us as Christians. So many people say, well, when God looks at us, He just sees the blood. He doesn't see our sin. But let's be careful that we're not think Christ has done all things for us. We can just live the way we want. That's not the case. God has in the last days spoken to us. Let's turn back to Hebrews 1 again. Hebrews 4, sorry. Hebrews 4. So there's three parts here that we have a better
Jesus Christ, how much better he is, and tries to explain that if people would understand, especially the Jewish people, that seems like it's amazing how people are drawn back to the law, that even have some Jewish blood in them. I don't know, it just works funny. But anyways, then it says once, and on that, in the end it says let us. Hebrews 1, 4 verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to come short of it. This is a very sobering thought, brothers. This is not a simple thing. And verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So God wants us to look to Christ. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He has begun a work in our lives, and he will finish it if we are willing to let him work in our lives. 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. It's not the one that has a good beginning. It's also the one that has the good beginning, holds fast all the way to the end, brothers, and who does not give up. And we are tempted sometimes in our just depressing times to just, you know what, it's so hard. You know, just the flesh finds it hard. But God will give us the grace that's needed and the strength to stand in hard times. Let's allow God to work. Verse 16 here. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, and that we may obtain mercy and find grace and to help in time of need. So we find these passages here that we are supposed to hold fast, and we are exhorted to hold fast. And then, you know, when things go difficult, things go hard, then it tells us here that we can come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. So what a blessing that we have is that let us therefore come. You know, if somebody's doubting here this morning, come. Come to the throne of grace boldly. God will deliver you. You might not have all your feelings and emotions. Don't worry about the feelings and emotions. Trust the Word of God and believe and settle your mind, your heart on it firmly. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. And I believe what it tells us here that if we have a established foundation, we need to build upon that and not trying to redo something or reinvent a wheel, or so to say, and wondering what is repentance after all. We need to have a clear conviction that we are able to help others, that also can go on to perfection, that we are not just making circles and spinning our wheels in the mud, but that we go on and we grow and we prosper. God shows us from His Word that we are obedient as obedient children, and so and applying the Word of God to our lives. 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. It again exhorts us to draw near. And God is willing to wash us. He is willing to sanctify us. He's willing to cleanse us. If we are only willing to break up with sin and not allow sin in our lives, as that we love sin, but we come to a place that says in Hebrews 1 that he anointed him with the oil of gladness. Why? Why did he do that? Because he hated iniquity and loved righteousness. If we want to have an anointed life, we must all come to that same place. And I think sin is a very tremendous hindrance from living a joyful life, an anointed life, and a life that I believe, if someone sinned, we have Jesus Christ, the righteous, the advocate with the Father, who is there to forgive us, to cleanse us, and has given us the gift of repentance. Praise God for that. Verse 24 in chapter 10. Let us, and let us consider one another and provoke one another to love and good works. This is practical work. May God give us grace, and may God give us courage as we as Christians follow these things. As we see how Jesus Christ was made so much better than the angels, and what He did once is so powerful. It stays and it stems forever. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. It will be there forever. It's established and it's firm. And so God, may God help us. You know, those people that everything that pointed to Jesus Christ, and why would people want to go back to those things that pointed to Him? I mean, yeah, it's sometimes, it comes very close to home. There's people that, you know, we were in church together, we prayed together, and all of a sudden you see those people, they turn to just Jewish, some Jewish faith, and they have they're totally throwing away that what Jesus Christ has done. They believe that they're still waiting for the Messiah. And so the question this morning is, why did God create you and me? Can you tell me? Why did God create us? What was His purpose for creating us first of all, and then saving us from a life of misery and sin? Can somebody tell me? What was God's purpose in that? And for fellowship. Isn't that amazing? God did not just throw us away, cast us out, but He desired fellowship. I just amazed, you know, it's just God could have made us slaves. It says in 1 John 3 that, how does it go again? Let's read that. 1 John 3. There's an amazing scripture. I marvel at that. It says, beloved, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us? 1 John 3, 1. Beloved, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knoweth Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Every man that hath this hope in Him purify himself even as He is pure. So, God has spoken in Jesus Christ. And He has shown us very clear. And it tells us in Titus 2, that Titus chapter 2, I think 11 and 12, where it says that the grace of God hath appeared to all men for what? Teaching us to denying what? Ungodliness and worldly lust. Why should we as Christians be ashamed of standing with Jesus Christ and the word of truth that has been brought to us, and the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth? I mean, God is so good. He is so wonderful. And I just, you know, God desires a fellowship with believers. He calls us brethren. You know, when we call ourselves as a group of a brotherhood, in that brotherhood, there is care, there is respect, there is love, there is grace, there is forgiveness, there is peace, there is joy, which should always abound. But sometimes we find that Satan would like to disturb that and bring divisions. And so, as we stand together, and if Satan cannot break us apart, then God's name is glorified. But it's sad to say, so often, Satan is able. Our sin, it affects many times, the root of bitterness affects other people by one man who is bitter and defiles others and brings division. So may God help us that we would have our hearts sanctified, sprinkled, and that we be children of God. So I have a question for you. Who benefits from God speaking through His Son? It's not the believers. We are benefiting from God speaking to us. I'll just share something with you. When we came to Canada, me and my wife did not speak English. Not I did not even know how to go and buy a Coca-Cola. I mean, that was foreign language. I spoke Spanish, high German, low German. But we went to school and we learned, and we wanted a teacher that knew the language. And so it took 5 years, and you know, at the age of 34, 33, I started to read my Bible in English and started to study English. It was kind of foreign to me. We always read High German, and it was a difficult language for me to understand. But you know, when people learn language, they want to benefit from different things, from the resources, and communicate properly with people. Isn't that the purpose of learning a language? But when we learn God's language, how He speaks, when the Holy Spirit comes and he changes our life, all of a sudden there is a different language that a Christian speaks than an ungodly man. Have you noticed that? It works that way. You know, before I was converted, we had ungodly friends. We had ungodly people that worked for my dad, and they were swearing and cursing, and so did we. But when God changed my life, I spoke a different language. It was not just speaking in tongues and blabbering something that people couldn't understand, but it was a language that communicated God's heart to others. And so that's God's heart for us. When God speaks to us in Jesus Christ, in these last days, in Hebrews 1 we read there, God wants to communicate to us how deadly sin is, and He wants to communicate properly to us what salvation is, and He has done it in Jesus Christ, and whoever believes and receives Christ to them gives the power to become sons of God. What a blessing. If we had not known, how could we believe? Hebrews 10 tells us clearly, how shall they go and preach unless they be sent? How shall they believe unless somebody comes and preach to them? So faith comes by hearing, and preaching comes through the Word of God, and God has clearly communicated to us. For the world, it's foolishness. The carnal man, the natural man, does not understand the things of the Spirit because it's foolishness to him. And it's a foreign language to him. So may God give us the grace that you and I would understand what it means when God speaks through His Spirit, the Word, and leads us into all truth. The world does not understand that. They don't hear God. John chapter 8, verse 47, it says this way, "He that is of God heareth God's Word." So how... if I was not part of a Spanish culture and a Spanish language, you know, and the people spoke to me and I couldn't understand a thing that they said, so how could I respond back to them properly? But when we hear God's Word and we understand, all of a sudden there is something very precious happens. There is a connection happening between us and God. We draw nigh to Him because we understand it's our spirit. He leads us. And we draw nigh to God, and God draws nigh to us, and there's the fellowship, the communication, it just becomes more precious, and God shows our sin, and you know how it works when you feel so convicted and so guilty, and you feel God calls you. And when you surrender and believe the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation with God, is God's heart is for man, all of a sudden the light bulb comes on, and you have a joy that starts bubbling over. Isn't that right? It is very precious what God is doing and has done. Jesus did open the disciples' minds, their eyes, their scripture when they were after His resurrection. They struggled. They struggled tremendously. And they said, "This man has come," and their two disciples walked to this village. And eventually Jesus said, you know, "Have you not..." I'm not sure how He said the words, but he started from Moses, and He opened them to them, the scripture, how it spoke about Him, all pointed to Him. And He says, "This is I." I mean, isn't that amazing? So we have all those testimonies from the past. And so God is revealing to us in many ways how He wants us to understand scripture. And that we would allow our lives to be open to Him. And so now we have, Jesus Christ has spoken to us. He has shown us very clearly the way. He's the truth and the life, the way. And then He says in Hebrews that if any soul will draw back, I think that was written back to those that were pointing to Him. He says, "My soul will have no pleasure in that soul." So you and I are exhorted to not draw back. we are exhorted to continue. And so may God give us the grace that. So today I we don't think, you know, it's we don't have the dreams and the visions and the things the way God spoke to people. But you and I do not need to depend on those things to learn about God and His will for our lives. I believe that rather God's revelation through the Word of God and the Scriptures and the Spirit of God, He illuminates and shows us what His will is for our lives. So I thank God for His goodness and for what He has done and how God is leading and is guiding us. So I'll leave it there. There's many things that I could say. I know Aiden told me I could have 2 hours. But I do not take that. I thank you, brothers and sisters, for the blessing that you have been to us. Support, prayers through our difficult times. May God continue to have His way. We are not perfect. We are working. We're hoping that in the near future we can be more established as a church out there. Pray for us. I trust that through your help and God's help and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit will lead us to a closer fellowship with God and also helping others around us. So God bless you, brothers, and may God give us grace.